Hey, Bill, Eric Zorn has gotten much nicer looking.
Yeah, far better looking than ever before. That's because the role of Eric Zorn is being played by Kristen McCreary today, writer for your Chicago Tribune. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
How are you?
Does that mean I have to be musically inclined and play my fiddle?
Yes,
and,
okay. You have to call a square dance at some point during today's
no
interview.
No, see, no, your partner, and swing her out the door.
First of all, happy holidays to you. Everything was good
the
holiday season?
Yes,
yeah?
It was excellent. It's a little difficult to be back at work today.
I know.
Isn't it?
It takes a little bit of an adjustment period, but everything will be
still
back to normal.
Still in first gear. Kind
Don't
of
worry.
Grinding to second.
It's going to be fine. The mayor has another big day ahead of him today. Now, he's had an interesting couple of weeks, if not months.
He had to cut his vacation short,
He came
Bill.
Back from Cuba early. Yeah. And quickly, before we get to what's going on today with him, I guess that was the right thing to do, but I'm not sure why.
Cutting his vacation short?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are some who say he actually did not cut his vacation short, that there's a limited amount of time that Cuba allows vacationers to be there, and his office was sort of sketchy, but who cares? Let's just say he cut his vacation short. I think it was probably important to come back after the police department in the latest case accidentally and admittedly shot
right
an
away.
Innocent person. Right away.
Right away they admitted that, because I saw that come across in the news, and the mental illness that was not mentioned on the 911 call, and right away the cops are saying in a statement, you know, it was an accidental shooting. Like, wow.
Right. That is a big change from what we've seen in
yeah.
the past.
But the move of him coming back and cutting a vacation short, that's a PR move to say, when there's trouble in the city, no matter where I am on the planet, I'm going to come back and do my best to address it. You're not going to go back and save either of the two people's lives that were murdered, or that were accidentally killed. I shouldn't say murdered, accidentally killed. That's already happened. But I guess as the mayor, you have to take some responsibility and say, look, I know how this looks. I'm out of town at a very inopportune time. I'm doing my best to get back and fix whatever I can possibly fix.
That's exactly correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right. So today, what exactly is going on this afternoon?
So the mayor appointed someone new to the Independent Police Review Authority. And this is this group. It's supposed to be outside of the police department. And when there is police misconduct or a police shooting, they do the investigation. It's supposed to be very independent. Studies have shown, including in the Tribune newsroom, it is not terribly effective. So he did a shakeup of that group, and they are announcing today further changes they will be making to hold police officers more accountable.
Do we have any idea what those changes will be just yet?
Some of them appear to just be moving people around. That could be significant because in the past, the panel of reviewers has often been people who are very close to the police department, retired officers, people who are part of fraternal order of police. And so you end up getting a much softer touch with some of these officers. I think they will announce a more civilian component
really?
To this and more community input and quicker release of information. I mean, some of the criticism about IPRA in the past, it takes 2 or 3 years before you even get to whether an officer is going to be disciplined, and that's just not right.
It sure isn't, and then they put them in, you know, a desk job or something while this is going on. But is it even being
investigated? Well, that's one of the things they're changing. Is it used to be, was it 3 days of desk service, and now it's going to be a much longer length?
It's 30 that they're taking you out of patrol. If you're a patrol officer, it's an automatic 30 days that you will be evaluated. It could be longer than 30, but
that's the new rule, right?
That's the new rule.
What was the old rule? I think it was just a handful of days, and that was it.
It was. It varied, but there was no real check with the officer to see if he or she were ready to go back on the back out on patrol.
No psych evaluation or anything like that?
Not anything really significant. So that was one of the changes that Mayor Emanuel announced a couple of weeks ago. And then just last week, he announced more tasers and more sensitivity training for police when they show up on the scenes. So today will be another day where we try to gauge how much out of the hole Rahm can dig himself, if these changes are going to be enough, if it's going to quell some of the protests, if it's going to quell some of the calls for him to resign. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think he'll ever resign, but there is a bill in Springfield that will allow voters to recall him. And I think he's doing everything he can to, you know, take the heat off of that issue as well.
Now, the recall has been brought up weeks ago before the Christmas holiday and everything. And I don't know. I can't even remember who said that that couldn't happen. That's not going to happen. I don't like the people going to picket at his house. That to me is just really disrespectful. Whether you're angry at what he's done, that's his home. Go pick it at the office. Yeah, go do it at the Bears game. Although, Bill, you mentioned there's
so many other reasons to pick it at a Bears game than this. There really is. I got
and
a laundry
more meaningful,
list. Oh,
right.
So much more.
But
meaningful.
His home, that just seems wrong to me.
Well, the city has done a good job of trying to accommodate the protesters, as you know, because you have a front row seat to it when it happens. I mean, police have been very tolerant. They've shut down Michigan Avenue. They've allowed people to lie in the street. They've rerouted traffic. So I think, you know, going to his home, I'm sure, seems, you know, somewhat distasteful. But he's got such a bad reputation in certain parts of the community here that they don't care. They don't care if they're being.
There was a time where people said his aspirations, Rahm Emanuel's aspirations, were a lot higher than just being the mayor of Chicago. That he wanted to go higher up eventually. Are those aspirations just totally a thing of the past now with what's gone on with him the last couple of months?
I think anyone can recover from anything. Voters have a very short memory. But if you look at what has happened so far, he's in his second term. He's had two school CEOs leave, one under indictment. The school's about to file for bankruptcy. The teachers are about to go on strike for a second time. The finances of the city are really no better off than when he started. Crime is obviously a big problem. We've got the Justice Department investigating the police department.
Right.
I mean, these are big issues that a lot of mayors don't recover from. So I think that's why we've seen national stories lately kind of questioning, will he be able to bounce back?
We have to take a quick break. How does that sound? And then we'll continue with Kristen McQueary from the Chicago Tribune. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We can be reached very easily, 312-981-7200. Kristen McQueary's here, fine writer for your Chicago Tribune. Wendy, you had a question for Kristen about the police sensitivity training.
Yes, I believe that there are wonderful police officers out there and that I respect police officers, but it seems in certain areas of the city that respect is gone. And will this training help? Is there any way to repair the relationship between some communities and the police force?
I think we can hope, yes. I mean, I think police training has gotten to be too much of a militarized exercise. We see that when they jump out of squad cars and their weapons are drawn. And honestly, you can't deny the fact that if you go into a lot of these neighborhoods, there are very few people who have had good interactions with police. It's just a fact.
But a lot of people say, oh, boo-hoo, that's not true. You need to show them respect. But they have doubts with the respect because in the past, they have not been treated fairly.
Right. I mean, if you just even, and this can be an emotional conversation, it can be data driven. If you look at the data, minorities get pulled over more. They get their cars searched more often. You know, so you have an experience like that and automatically your trust level drops. So I do think it could help if they get back to, you know, what I hear from people, residents in these neighborhoods is it did used to be a trusting relationship. And you had the same officer in the same neighborhood working the same beat, watching the same kids walk home from school every day. And now we just have lost sort of that connection. Officers are being reassigned everywhere. They're working overtime to cover some of these neighborhoods. So you don't have that sense of familiarity that I think would help if we went back to that sort of style.
They've not replaced yet Gary McCarthy, Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy. Part one of my question is, who in their right mind would want that job at this stage? Part number two is, what could they possibly do differently that he was not doing?
That is a really good question, because I, for one, don't really think change at the top makes a big difference when it trickles down to what is happening in the streets in some of these neighborhoods.
Right.
We're talking about poverty and generations of poverty, and there's really not a lot that one person can change. The interim superintendent, I don't know, he wants the job, John Escalante. I don't know if he's going to get it, but he's talking about bringing back some of these strike forces that were disbanded under McCarthy because he wanted more people on the streets. But these were targeted units that would, you know, swoop into neighborhoods that were gang infested and really try to cut down on violent behavior. So I think that's one thing that the new superintendent could do. and emphasizing a lot of the things that they're talking about now, better relationship with police, de-escalating situations, some of this new training that they're talking about, you know, arming officers with tasers, is that going to solve the problem? Not necessarily. But when you had a case like Laquan McDonald where they were asking for a taser and no one had one, that's a change that should have been made 14 months ago that we're just now seeing now.
Yeah.
So there are some things that, would help.
Can I ask the most naive question I've ever asked anyone in my life? I used to watch. No, I've asked some very naive questions in my career, so get ready for this. I used to watch Hill Street Blues when I was a kid, the cop show Hill Street Blues. And on Hill Street Blues, Captain Frank Furillo had this thing where he would call in the various gang members in the city and he'd have a sit down with them and say, look, I know things are rough out on the streets, but let's all work together and figure out how we can all get along. And it would work. And I know it was a TV show, but
Pizza
I wonder.
Pizza Man did it.
Pizza Man always got it done. I always wonder to myself, could that ever really happen? Could a police officer, a guy who's in charge of the police of a major city, call in the gang leaders and say, hey, look, I know you guys don't like each other by nature. I understand that. But we'll all live a lot longer and happier if we figure out some sort of an accord agreement. Could that ever possibly work?
You know what, Bill? It did happen here. Jody Weiss, the previous superintendent, did something like that. He kind of kept it on the down low, but it came out that he had a couple summits with gang leaders. And then he was ousted for another reason.
Yeah.
I think Gary McCarthy has had some of those conversations as well. I think he did.
Really?
He did. But, you know, that's controversial in its own right. And a lot of people argue that the chaos and the violence we're seeing is not necessarily old-fashioned gang turf wars. It's social media, someone getting mad at someone else. You know, somebody calls somebody out on Facebook and they are mad at someone's girlfriend. I mean, those are things that I don't know that sitting down with gang leaders would fix.
Oh, all right. That was my naive question.
It's not a naive question.
And I mean, we've had that Tamara Manassa on, Mothers Against Senseless Killing from that mask organization. And the bottom line is to humanize all this and to make relationships and to, like, she's all on top of, you go respect that older gentleman who lives down the block. You go bring him something to eat because we need to make connections, basically. And so that's a good idea. Whether or not it could happen.
It is, and it's ceasefire does a little of that where they try to, you know, stop retaliation crimes. And it's relationship building. It's knocking on doors. It's sitting down with some people who have, you know, felonies, and they're worried that that's going to be the next target.
Right.
That's a little bit of what that organization does.
Let's go national for just a little bit with the big elections coming up in November. As time goes on and we get closer and closer to those elections, do you see it getting even stranger than it's already been with Donald Trump and the auxiliary players around him, or will things stabilize at some point?
No, this is the craziest rise of a presidential nominee that I've ever seen. I mean, he was just over the weekend saying, you know, he's tapping into something. He says, you know, politicians are all talk and no action, and that's BS. That's BS. And people are clapping and
right.
I mean, when would you ever see a presidential nominee, you know, openly swear and curse? And
yep.
it's beyond what I can really wrap.
Well, that's the guy I'd vote for. And I would like to be his first lady.
The new tactic now at this point is the attacks on Hillary Clinton from him are going through Bill Clinton and talking about his past, to put it politely. But Trump has some deficiencies in that area as well, doesn't he?
That is a very kind way of saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Hillary's relationship with Bill, whatever Bill did, should be completely off limits. And I mean, nothing is for Trump,
right.
So we shouldn't be surprised. But that's just really tacky, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess we should expect it coming from somebody who says whatever is on his mind at any moment.
When will some of the also-rans realize that this next presidential election is not in their cards? Is it after the first primary? When are we going to see some drop-off with the people who are not among the leaders?
Well, the caucuses are the first week in February, I think, in Iowa. I think we'll see some drop-off there.
Yeah.
By the time we get to South Carolina, it will probably be narrowed to maybe three or four.
Oh, you think so, yeah?
But also, by that time, there's not a lot of money involved, you know? So people might kind of hang around and wait for that invitation to maybe be a running mate. You know, if you drop out now, maybe we'll tap you for vice president or cabinet position. So some people linger, you know, knowing they're going to lose, but to use that as leverage.
Do you think Trump will pick himself as a running mate? Do you think that's a possibility?
Can you imagine?
Yes,
I can.
He likes his daughter. Maybe it'll be Ivanka.
Oh, maybe. Mm. All right. That's a good move.
She'd be good.
Yeah. Kristen, thank you very much for filling in today. Great
sure,
to see you.
Great
it's
to see
Kristen
you.
McQuery. You can read her work in the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and find
no,
out.
No, no break. Just Bertrand.
Or you Yves? Can listen to her on the Mincing Rascals podcast every.
I was just going to say that's a good option too, as well.
Right. Yeah, it's where she schools me every Friday.
Oh, all right.
Well, politics is so confusing to me, absolutely confusing, and you make sense of it all for me, so thank you.
Well, thank you.
You're
that's
a miracle
nice
worker, that's
say.
What you are.
Well, she's
true.
Not, I mean, it's hard to work miracles on the Chicago politics, but you do a good job with it. Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
You really do.